broadcasting from your favorite breakfast spot. You're listening to the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
A very familiar voice, not just on Melissa in the Morning, but the Lisa Wexler Show. I'm sure Connecticut Today as well. Alexis Harrison is here, and I'm so glad to have you.
So happy to be here. I love Andrew's Diner. This is a great spot. So
I love it.
And their renovation looks fantastic.
I know, right? It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And so are you.
Thank you.
Never get to see you in person.
I know. This is a rare treat.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Poor Alexis is always so willing to come on even at 6:30 in the morning for my show, but it's usually over the phone. So it's great to talk in person. A lot happening, especially with housing. But let's start with what's going on in Fairfield. By the way, Alexis, Planning and Zoning Commissioner, also with 169 Strong, which is a grassroots effort. Let's start with Fairfield happenings, and then we can move to the statewide stuff you're seeing.
Yeah, Fairfield has been very busy with zoning. And
no kidding.
our commission has been meeting once a week since September.
Wow.
We, as you saw, we achieved our moratorium on April 1st, which was fantastic news. Really, you know, a very long 30-year journey to get there. And unfortunately, a lot of neighborhoods did have to stomach some I would say, oversized development to get there.
That's the moratorium for 830G.
830G, correct. Yep. And because we had that impending moratorium, developers saw that, oh, my gosh, I have to file my application now. So we have about 13 830G applications in front of us right now.
That you guys still have to look at because it got in before the deadline.
Correct.
Got it.
So it's a lot of work, but it's great. It's very rewarding to have a voice on the planning in the future of our community because it's a wonderful community, and we just need to have the right voices there to make sure that we're enabling good development, good planning, and protecting our environment at the same time.
I've thought about you a couple of times. Well, I think about you all the time, Alexis, but I thought about you specifically a couple times with news stories. One was when the moratorium went into place. We had spoken to one of our housing experts on our show, Renee Dobis, who's with the Connecticut Housing Partners, and she was saying how, you know, we understand because 830G is broken. I think that there's this unbelievable consensus of that, but we don't do anything. And it sounds like we're not doing anything with 830G again this legislative session, which is so frustrating. So I know she was saying if we're going to have moratoriums, maybe less than 4 years. But to me, that just is a call for we need to change 830G. And it just sounds like that's not happening.
It's not happening. And I've been advocating for that for many years. Actually, I got involved many years ago in Fairfield because I saw some of my neighbors, you know, upset about 830Gs. And I was very environmentally involved with Fair Plan, Fairfielders Protecting Land and Environment.
Right.
And I really believe that zoning is our first protection when it comes to our environment, when it comes to resiliency. And as you said, 830G is not going to fix this session. In fact, our legislators are putting forth bills that would put 830G on steroids.
Well, I was going to say, can we talk about this was the other story that I thought was shocking. It was brought to my attention. There's a bill that's being discussed right now that based on how many 830G projects you put into place, it was like 10% if you have 830G projects or something, that will get you more funding for your school, like 20% more for the public schools. So we're using kids as collateral? I think that's terrible.
It is terrible.
I hate that.
I've seen that. I mean, there's actually probably dozens of bills right now in front of the legislature related to zoning and housing. The big trends that we're seeing with the concepts are as-of-right development. As-of-right development means no public hearing, no voice at your local zoning commission. So if you like a project or you don't like it, you can't come to us and say, these are the reasons why I don't like it or I think this should be approved.
I don't get it, though, because when I talk to both sides, I'll have Republicans and Democrats for the state in my studio or on the phone, and they agree 830G is not working. It's archaic. So the concept of it was a great thing years
100%.
And years ago, and it served a purpose. Mm-hmm. But here we are today, and we've got towns like Fairfield who are like, you know what? We want out. We don't want this. And other towns who are struggling to do the same thing. And I just think to myself, so what are we doing? We're not only not fixing it, but we're almost rewarding it by saying, hey, so we're just going to stay with a broken system, and then we'll reward you for staying in the system. That's just backwards to me. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And it, like you said, it was created with good intentions because we want to make sure that people, older people, senior citizens, people who have created our community, people who just graduated from college can live in our towns. We want that. I know I didn't have that when I graduated from college. I had probably 4 or 5 roommates, and I struggled a bit, but, you know, such is life. But we certainly want that. But 830G is broken and it's not being addressed, and I just don't know why.
I mean, we have teachers and cops and all these people that we need living in the town, but they can't. They
but it
can't
also doesn't allow deeply affordable units to be created.
Correct.
And that's people probably the who biggest really thing. Need it. I think about, you know, right. people in their 80s who are on fixed incomes. They couldn't afford a $2,000, you know, month rent on Social Security.
Absolutely. So Alexis, I think of people who are graduating college who would love to stay in Connecticut or have their kids move back to Connecticut and live here. But other than being in mom and dad's basement, we're creating affordable housing complexes, but they're not affordable.
Right, right.
So.
And actually, we just passed on the Zoning Commission. I actually voted against it. Was the expansion of the Circle Inn Hotel down the street.
I saw that. Yeah. What is that about?
It's highly controversial. So they want to refurbish the hotel, the Circle Inn Hotel, which is badly needed of a facelift. We all agree on that. And we do need a good, viable hotel in Fairfield. We have two universities here. And it also would allow 200, and the application also allowed for 250 apartment units.
Okay.
And this is adjacent to a tidal wetland, the Ash Creek Conservation area, which is very environmentally sensitive. I voted against it because I didn't feel there was enough environmental protection with the application. The applicant would be building 15 feet above, adjacent to the tidal wetland, which I felt was too close. I think 100 feet buffer would be more appropriate.
Okay. Are the apartments affordable?
Yes, they would be.
But
you know what the kicker is?
Wait, but under 830G?
No, it's on 830G. We do have an inclusionary zoning rule that if you build more than 10 units, 10% have to be deemed affordable. But the kicker is if they also, in parallel, applied for an 830G application. So it was kind of extortion. I think they were kind of weaponizing 830G. So if you don't approve this, then we're going to give you this, and it's going to be much harder to deny. So I think it was being weaponized. And we're seeing that happen all over town. They're applying for one application for a special permit and then an 830G in parallel, which allows more work for us. And it's really just unfair. Like, I think an applicant, a developer, should have one vision for a property.
Yeah, it makes sense. And Alexis Harrison is here again, who is the Planning and Zoning Commissioner here in Fairfield, but also part of 169 Strong. And you also heard right next door to us in Fairfield, what's going on with off-street parking? Somebody came, you were presented about this, this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the bills that we're seeing up in Hartford this session, is to get rid of parking requirements for developers. And
what does that mean?
So there would be no parking requirement. So if you want to build, you know, 74-unit apartment building,
You don't have to include parking.
You would not be obliged to allow any parking, because they believe it would be easier. It's more inexpensive for a developer to build, because they would not be.
Where in the world are people going to park?
That's a great question. So actually, this past weekend in Bridgeport, the city of Bridgeport actually imposed this themselves in 2021 to get rid of minimum parking requirements. And I took a tour with two city council members who showed me East Main Street, how it's just congested.
Yeah, it's packed.
It's very narrow. I mean, it's a great neighborhood, very vibrant, a lot going on, great restaurants. But they're very narrow roads. And there's actually development right now to create dozens of apartment buildings, but there would be no requirement for parking. One council member told me one of her constituents is a nurse who gets home at 12 o'clock at night. And
she's
what?
She's got to drive around for 20 minutes to find a parking spot?
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah. I lived in Seattle for a few years, and they had no parking requirements either. And I can tell you, I had to park sometimes 2 miles away.
I think that's insane.
It is, yeah.
And how do you do that? I mean, forget even just in towns like Fairfield. But how do you do that in Bridgeport, largest city in Connecticut? How in the world do you do that?
Yeah, and I was actually surprised, because I did kind of a deep dive tour of the city, and the roads are really narrow. They're congested. You know, how can someone do maintenance, sweeping, garden?
Not to mention security. I'm sorry, but I gotta also just like address the elephant in the room. Right. I wouldn't feel as safe versus having a parking lot that's at my residence, my place that I'm already paying astronomical amounts, I'm sure, to live wherever it is in Connecticut. Yeah. Why in the world would I want to have street parking and then walk 2 blocks to my house? Especially like I work at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to walk to my car at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Of course. It's a safety issue.
Exactly.
And I think there is room to amend some of our parking requirements. Like you look at like Stop and Shop not far from here.
Right.
There's tons of parking there. I mean, when do you really see that filled? Maybe the day before Thanksgiving.
Sure, maybe you alter it, but to get rid of it all together,
wild. I think it would just be poor planning.
Come
so that's on. A bill in Hartford that we're seeing right now. And we were told the majority leader, Rojas, he did a presser yesterday about what's going on with housing, and he expects a dummy bill to be put forth next week, HB 5002, which he called an aircraft carrier of a bill with lots of concerning concepts, as I said, as of right, rollbacks of our environmental protections, just a lot of bad concepts that should never really see the light of the day. They should be screened in committee and really not be allowed to be you know, voted on.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep a close eye on that. Please keep us posted, Alexis. I'm sure you're going to be coming back on the show in a matter of days because, again, we're getting down to the wire with the legislative session. And one of the big things that I think you do a great job highlighting is not so much if this is a partisan issue. I mean, this should just be a living in Connecticut issue and just looking at, does this make sense for housing and for just being able to live comfortably in Connecticut or affordably, but also understanding your voice matters and not getting rid of the local voice. I mean, when you hear about something like what you're talking about with parking requirements, to me, that just sounds like maybe lawmakers up in Hartford are removed sometimes from the communities they're talking about passing this legislation for. They don't even realize it's almost tone deaf a little bit.
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, I think there are a lot of good intentions there. I don't think it's poor intentions.
Totally.
But I just don't think they have, they don't engage all stakeholders when it comes to these concepts. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the local zoning commission. I see firsthand of what people go through. I'm not, a professional engineer or anything like that, but I see firsthand. I see the real world consequences of development.
Does this make sense?
And there are plenty of smart planners, too, out there. And again, what the issue is with the dummy bill coming next week, we have no idea what's going to be in it, so we really can't prepare. It really just shows kind of the dysfunction of one-party rule in Hartford is that they're not going to show us what this bill is up until next week. And then they'll throw in about probably 30 different concepts, so it kind of provides cover for legislators who say, well, I had to vote for it because there were three things I really liked, and those were important to my communities.
Yeah.
So it really provides cover to legislators.
Well, Alexis, please keep us posted when you get the language. I would love to talk about it more on the show.
100%.
Thank you so much for being part of the
Great
Diner
to see
Tour.
You.
Love having you here. Thank you so much.